Martha could not resist the merry cavalcade. Clapping her paws in time to the lively song, she laughed happily. Sister Portiola, whooping like a wild beast, grabbed Martha's chair and dashed off into the throng. Abbot Carroll winked at Fred.
My mistake for starting all this. But who could sit indoors studying on such a wonderful day?
Torrin, in complete agreement, shepherded both of his friends out of the way of the dancers.
You two stay here. I'll go and bring two armchairs and the rest of the food out of the gatehouse. You can sit back and watch the whole thing in comfort. We can always look through dusty old books tomorrow.
Old Fred spoke to a buttercup growing by the wall.
Now, there's a sensible young creature. Beasts like that make a body enjoy his old age, eh?
Bragoon and Sorrow stood outside the main gate. Memories flooded back as they touched the stout oak timbers. The ageing squirrel looked misty-eyed.
Dear old Red Wall Abbey. Oh, sounds like they're having a good time in there, mate. Well, do we knock for the gatekeeper?
Bragoon scuffed the gravel path with his rudder as he pondered the question.
We've been a long time gone. Suppose no beast knows us anymore. Or worse, supposing they do recognise us and recall what a pair of scoundrels we were. They might not want us back. What do you think?
Sorrow gnawed at her lip.
Aye, I think you're right, Bragg. Tell you what, let's just slip in unnoticed and sort of mingle with the crowd. That way we can judge the lay of the land.
The otter grinned furtively at his companion.
The way we used to come and go, through the old east wall gate. I'll bet you can still open it.
Sorrow clapped his back with her bushy tail.
Great idea. Come on, let's give it a try. We'll disguise ourselves up a bit so as not to cause too much of a stir.
Brother Weld, an old bank vole who was Abbey beekeeper, perched on the arm of Abbot Carroll's chair to watch the fun. Some of the other games were in progress, and competition among the Dibbons was fierce. The abbot watched them fondly as he reminisced.
I was pretty good at the Nut and Spoon race in my younger seasons.
Weld kept his eyes on the games as he observed dryly.
Aye, father, you beat me 3 seasons on the run. Then they caught you sticking your nut to the spoon with honey.
Abbot Carroll cautioned him.
Not so loud, Weld. Keep your voice down. We can't have the young'uns discovering that a Dibbon who cheated at Nut and Spoon is now their abbot.
Three of the Dibbons, Muggum, Shilly and Uch, were trying madly to win the greasy pole event. A big bag of candied chestnuts hung from the top of the pole. It resisted all their efforts. Each time they ended up skimming dismally down to earth, caked with a mixture of soap and vegetable oil. After some earnest plotting, they hatched up a joint plan. Muggum stood tip-paw, grasping the base of the pole. Uch scrambled up on the mole babe's back and stood on his head. Both clung tightly to the pole. Then Shilly climbed up over them onto Uch's head. Holding the pole with one paw, the squirrel babes strove with their free paw to reach the bag. Unfortunately, the combined height of all three Dibbons was still short of the prize. Muggum could not look up, his tiny face squinched by the weight of his two pals, but that did not stop him yelling out words of encouragement.
Go on, Shilly, grubby chestnutters, now!
Shilly roared back at him.
I cannot get him, me poor beast too little and short.
Uch the mole babe grunted his contribution.
My poor beast flattened, hurry up!
Amid the spectators' shouts of support and hoots of laughter at the spectacle, Fenner came bounding out. The squirrel maid hopped up the backs of all three Dibbons. Launching herself from the top of Shilly's head, she made a graceful leap. Fenner effortlessly unhooked the bag of candied chestnuts. Performing a spectacular somersault, she landed neatly on the ground, without a speck of grease anywhere on her. She smiled smugly.
No trouble at all. The prize is mine.
Martha's voice cut across her jubilant cries.
Not fair. It's the greasy pole you're supposed to climb, not the greasy Dibbons. You should forfeit the nuts, Fenner.
Fenner stuck her lip out and pouted.
But I won them.
The abbot left his armchair and took possession of the bag.
The object is to get the nuts. There's no hard and fast rule about climbing greasy poles. But be fair, Fenner. The little ones tried so hard and they gave us all such fun. I suggest we split the nuts 4 ways... betwixt you and them.
Whilst every beast was applauding the decision, Torren caught Shilly and Uch as they fell backward from the pole. Horsey was left at the task of unsticking Muggum, who was practically plastered to the pole with grease. He tugged his snout politely to the young hare.
"Thank ye, sir. I thought I was stuck there for life."
Horsey gazed down at his clean tunic, now coated with the mess.
"You think nothing of it, old lad. My pleasure, what?"
He slipped and fell flat as he stumbled away from the pole.